Blog Talk Radio.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
And the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is to go on.
What is up? It is Tuesday night. It is 9 p.m., and that can only mean one thing. It's time for another edition of SNY's TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. I'm your host, Anthony Riceballs Donahue, with you. Going to take you up until 10 o'clock here on TheKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Got a nice little show planned, and how I always do on TKB Radio. Obviously, you know the website, TheKnicksBlog.com, which is written by Tommy D, and Tommy D will be joining the show at about 9:40. At about 9:15, we'll talk to from 10:50 ESPN New York weekdays 1 to 3 with Brandon Tierney. Jody McDonald, the New York sports radio icon, will join the show at about 9:15. We'll talk Knicks and NBA with Jody, get his thoughts on the Knicks over the past few years, and I'll talk to Jody about a bunch of conversations Jody and I had back in the summer of 2006 about player you Knicks fans all know and love, and that's David Lee, and I'll talk to Jody about this conversation. When back about 4 years ago, Jody and I had a little bit of a disagreement about David Lee 4 years ago, and hopefully if Jody remembers the conversation, I was kind of right there, Knicks fans. 646-478-5554 is the number, so give me a call. We'll talk some Knicks, we'll talk some NBA, we'll talk some hoops. Last night, obviously you can follow me on Twitter, AnthonyMSG. You can friend me on Facebook, Facebook.com/TonyRiceballs. Obviously, you can follow Tommy on Twitter on TommyDTKB, and Tommy's on Facebook as well. Obviously, last night was the last home game of the year. Tomorrow's the last game of the year up in Toronto, as it does mean something for the Raptors. And we'll get into the playoffs as the shows move on during the spring. And starting this Monday, we'll be on every Monday and Wednesday moving forward. And the next show will be Thursday after tonight on TheKnicksBlog.com. We'll get into the playoff matchups on Thursday, as well as, you know, totally recapping the season. And last night was the last home game at the Garden. And, of course, it wouldn't be a Knick game if there wasn't some issues to talk about on the show. Now, I'm not going to make too big of a deal of this, but I'm going to say what I have to say about the situation last night at the game. Obviously, the Knicks beat the Wizards last night. They're still going to lose 50 games this year. Mike D'Antoni's first 2 years as the head coach of the New York Knicks have not been pleasant. Losers of 50 games each time. That's not very good. And obviously, when Mike D'Antoni got the job, he knew the first 2 years were not going to be pretty. Obviously, anybody who took the job for the New York Knicks knew the first 2 years were not going to be pretty. But I think, you know, obviously after the Crawford and Randolph trades, I'm not saying the Knicks were championship contenders with those two guys, but I think with Crawford, Randolph, David Lee, you know, the Knicks maybe could have done some special things. But, you know, that's not what happened. They had to make the trades to clear cap space. And they played well last year, even after those trades. And I think going into this season, a lot of fans expected a lot more from the Knicks, especially with the way they played in December. Obviously, I don't think there was any fan that was expecting a championship. I don't think there was any fan even really expecting the Knicks to get to the conference finals or even the second round. But I think a lot of fans going into this season really were expecting the playoffs. And we'll get into that with Jody. We'll get into that later on in the show, as well as on Thursday night show. But what I want to start the show with tonight, and like I said, don't want to spend too much time on it. If you want to call me about it, agree or disagree, that's fine. 646-478-5554 is the number. As you all know, last night could have been David Lee's final game as a New York Knick. Now, first of all, on David Lee, I just want to say, obviously, David Lee, you know, he's not going to win a championship by himself. He's not going to bring the Knicks to 50 wins by himself. And there's not a lot of players in the NBA that can do that. It'd be a couple. Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, Kobe Bryant. But even Kobe Bryant can't do it by himself, because you look at the 3 years, Kobe really didn't have a squad around him. 04, 05, he didn't make the playoffs. 06, he lost in the first round to the Suns. And 07, they lost in the first round to the Suns. And the next year, you know, they got Pau Gasol and, you know, some other good players, and they made it to the finals, and the next year winning the championship. So, obviously, David Lee, as good as David Lee has gotten, he's not going to, you know, win games by himself. Only a few players are going to do that. So my point is saying that even though the Knicks have been, you know, bad the last 5 years, and I'm not saying David Lee's Patrick Ewing. I'm not. No way in hell am I saying that. Although he's, the improvement David Lee's had in his game the last 5 years, every year, has been tremendous. It's been awesome to watch. Going from a guy in 2005 who did not dress on opening night. Remember that, Knicks fans. Opening night 2005, David Lee's rookie year in Beantown, David Lee did not even dress. Home opener that year, David Lee did not dress. David Lee did not dress till his third game in his rookie season. And throughout that first, his rookie season, he wasn't even dressing half the time. Although, then again, he did have Larry Brown as his coach. Dave would get 15-10 and not dress the next night. But the gradual improvement of David Lee's game from 2005 to now has been freaking awesome. I obviously, you know, does he still need to work on his defense? Of course. Will he get better defensively? Of course he will, because the guy works hard. The guy works his ass off, respects his craft, loves the game, and wants to get better, and he'll get even better. I mean, David Lee has become a player where you can give him the ball at the end of the game. You can give the ball to David Lee at top of the key and say, make a play. We need a basket. He's that good of a player now. He's that good of a player. And we'll get into that in a little bit more. So, obviously, last night could have been David Lee's final game as a Knick. And I think it's a 50-50 chance that David Lee's back. Maybe 60-40, maybe, you know, 40-60. Anyway, very good chance last night was David Lee's final game as a New York Knick. Now, obviously, Knicks aren't going to the playoffs. Obviously, the Knicks are up by a couple points. David Lee comes out of the game with 8 minutes left. Now, Mike D'Antoni had a chance. You see it in baseball quite a bit where maybe a pitcher, a manager will send a pitcher out to get a final out for a last an ovation from the crowd. And Mike D'Antoni should have been aware, and he is aware, that David Lee might not be back next year. Mike D'Antoni is aware that David Lee is a crowd favorite, maybe the most popular Knick over the last 5 years. And if he didn't want to play David Lee the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game, that's fine. And obviously, David Lee was very, very politically correct about it after the game. And David Lee's a team guy. He's not going to ever, ever, ever take the shine away from the team winning the ball game, no matter what. But Mike D'Antoni had a chance to get it right last night. And what Mike D'Antoni should have done, if he wanted to take David Lee out with 7, 8 minutes left in the game, what he should have done was had somebody commit an intentional foul or took him out, you know, on a whistle. And David Lee could walk off the court to a standing ovation from the Garden crowd. That's what Mike D'Antoni should have done. Now, is this an issue we're going to be talking about in 3 weeks? No. Is this an issue we're going to be talking about even by Friday? And the answer is no. But I really thought, you know, especially over the last 9 years, the Knicks have been so bad. The Knicks haven't had many bright spots, and one of the few bright spots the Knicks have had has been David Lee. With his improved play, his classy attitude on and off the court, there hasn't been many bright spots for the Knicks, but David Lee has certainly been one. And obviously with the slim chance, with the good chance that David Lee is not going to be back next year, I thought Mike D'Antoni should and could have done a better job and took him off the court for an ovation for the fans. And remember, last night was fan appreciation night at the Garden last night, okay? It's not like the Knicks are, listen, if the Knicks are playing good without David Lee in the game and they're fighting for a playoff spot, and I mean, David Lee's the best player on the team, but if Mike D'Antoni felt, hey, you know, we're a better team, you know, for this 8-minute stretch without Dave, I guess that's fine. But the Knicks aren't going to the playoffs. It's the last game of the year. It's fan appreciation night. If you're going to take David Lee out with 8 minutes left, make sure you take him out in front of the crowd and let him get a standing ovation. Now, if he has a 5-year deal inked already for his sake of conversation, then it's different. You know he'll be back next year. But you don't know he'll be back next year. Every fan in the building is aware of that. Every player is aware of that. And I thought that Mike D'Antoni missed the boat tonight. Now, missed the boat last night. I thought he could have got David Lee a nice standing ovation from the crowd. There hasn't been many standing ovations from the Garden crowd over the last 9 years with all the wretched basketball there. So I thought they had the chance last night to have, you know, get a nice ovation for Dave. Now, do I think it was a subliminal message towards David Lee? No, I don't think it was at all. I just think it's Mike D'Antoni. I don't think he was thinking that. Now, and Mike D'Antoni said it after the game. He wasn't thinking about it, and no, that's not Mike's job to worry about, you know, if a player gets a standing ovation. Now, I understand that, but you know, in a season, in two seasons, in nine seasons of such bad basketball, so much bad PR for the New York Knicks, from this to that and that to this, I thought the Knicks and Mike D'Antoni had a chance to have a nice special moment by taking David Lee out of the game in front of the crowd. Have a commit, you know, you commit an intentional foul, and the crowd will obviously be aware of that, and now you take David out of the game. We can get your thoughts, 646-478-5554 on that. Am I wrong? But I thought Mike D'Antoni missed the boat. Am I going to, you know, like I said, is this a topic we're even going to be talking about by Friday? No, we're not. But all I'm saying is, you know, you had a chance to have a nice moment right there, and I thought it would have been nice. Nevertheless, it didn't happen. And in about 5 minutes, we'll talk to Jody McDonald from 1050 ESPN New York here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I know, you know, we can also talk to, you know, obviously all fans knew, like I said at the start of the show, that, you know, this is going to be a process for Mike D'Antoni. This is going to be a process the next 2 years. This is going to be a work in progress. And now that the season's over, the Knicks are going to lose, you know, 50 games again. And you look back at the season and you're like, you know, this team should have been better. Obviously, there was tons of distractions from the start of the year when they had the players-only meeting after the Pacers game. And, you know, what came out of the meeting was that management is really not concerned with this season. That's how the players felt. And it was really, you know, hard just to get a rhythm going to the year. And it didn't help starting off 1-9. Mike D'Antoni can never come up with a rotation. I thought he alienated some players. You know, did Larry Hughes deserve that treatment? No. Did Nate Robinson, you know, as nut as Nate can be sometimes, did he deserve to get benched for 14 games, especially on a Knick offensive team that's not, you know, the greatest scoring team in the world? Did Nate deserve to get benched for 3 games? Yeah, but 14? No, I don't think he did. The Eddie Curry situation is 50-50. You talk to people around the team, and some will say Eddie deserved the chance. Some will say Eddie did it to himself. Me, I'm kind of both. I'm like, listen, I would have liked to have seen Eddie get a chance. The simple fact of he's probably going to be back next year, and if he's not back, you want to be able to trade that contract. You don't just want to buy him out and only get a couple bucks back. So by playing him, maybe you could have showcased him and traded him over the summer. I still think there's a chance to trade Eddie Curry's contract over the summer and Eddie Curry himself, but we'll talk about that throughout the shows on theKnicksBlog.com on Mondays and Wednesday nights about, you know, what the Knicks are going to do with Eddie Curry. But, you know, those are some issues with Mike D'Antoni. One thing that's kind of alarming, and I never like to, you know, bring bad light on the Knicks, and I never do, really, but it's a little weird how when Tracy McGrady first, and obviously, will Tracy McGrady ever be what he was? I don't know. But it's kind of bothersome to me. When Tracy McGrady first got here, he was talking about how he wanted to help recruit free agents here. He wanted to help get players here. He wanted to stay here next year as maybe a third or fourth option on the team, because obviously Tracy McGrady has never gone out of the first round. And it looks like now, from, you know, people I've talked to and things that I'm hearing around the team, is that now Tracy McGrady can't wait to leave the Knicks. And, you know, players talk. And I've talked to a few people, you know, around the league, and, you know, the word is, and I'm not in practice for the Knicks, so you got to, you know, a lot of players are a little sour on Mike D'Antoni. Now, I'm not saying, I don't know what's going to happen July 1st. Maybe the Knicks get LeBron. Maybe they get Dwayne Wade. Maybe they get Chris Bosh. Maybe they get all three to $12 million contracts. I don't know. But I feel like the things I've heard about Mike D'Antoni 2 years ago are not the same things I've heard about Mike D'Antoni now. I feel like his reputation has taken a hit. Has it taken a huge hit? I'm not so sure. I think if you talk to people around the league and talk to players and stuff, that no one expected great things from the Knicks the last 2 years. I think the thing that people take the most out of Mike D'Antoni the last 2 years is the issues he's had with the players, the way he falls in and out in love with the players. Even, you know, I thought he did it. Listen, he's a guy that Knicks fans don't really like, and we know we all probably loved him at first, Stephon Marbury. He probably did Stephon Marbury dirty. He's done a lot of players dirty here. And, you know, I'm still going to support Mike D'Antoni. I've always said since the day Donnie Walsh hired him, there was no perfect person for the job. Not Avery Johnson, not Jeff Van Gundy, not Mark Jackson. And there was no perfect GM for this job. This job was hell to take for coaching and GM. So I'll give credit to Donnie Walsh. I think Donnie Walsh has done a phenomenal job. It would have been nice not to give up all of his draft picks, but hey, it is what it is. But, you know, so kudos to Donnie Walsh. And listen, I wanted to see Mike D'Antoni do a better job. And a lot of times, you know, sometimes Mike and his funny comments and stuff, I guess that's just how he is. He's raw, and, you know, he's raw like that. But especially after some losses when he's just joking around and, you know, the things he says after the game last night. Hey, see you next year. And I'm sure, listen, I'm sure since the opening night in Miami, right, the same night of game one of the World Series, Mike was looking forward to July 1st. And obviously, Mike was talking about that in the papers today about, you know, it really doesn't matter to recruit free agents for the record. I'm not so sure about that, but I kind of agree because, you know, you win 30 games, you tell the free agent, hey, listen, if we had you, we win 52. I'm not really sure exactly how that's going to play out. And another interesting thing here on the KnicksBlog.com, you can, you know, give me a call at 646-478-5554. We'll talk to Jody McDonald from 1050 ESPN New York in a few minutes. Is I felt like at the start of the season, I don't know who generates this buzz. Maybe it's, you know, people like myself, people who write columns, people who write blogs. I felt like start of the season, October, November, even December, there was the big buzz that a lot of Knicks fans were confident LeBron was coming. A lot of Knicks fans were confident that Dwayne Wade might come. And I feel now that confidence is kind of gone. Now, what is that based on? I'm not so sure. But I feel like the confidence of LeBron James coming is gone. I feel like the confidence of Dwayne Wade coming is gone. Now, I don't know what's going to happen July 1st. I think it's going to be exciting. I think it's going to be the most exciting that Knicks fan has had over a summer, probably since July 1st of 1996, when the last time the Knicks were on the salary cap. And, you know, we'll get into that right now with Jordy McDonald. Right now on the line from 1050 ESPN New York, he's on the air every weekday from 1 to 3 with Brandon Tierney, and that's Jody McDonald. Jody, welcome to the show, man.
Andy, how you been?
I've been okay, Jody. How about you?
Except for the way the Knicks are finishing out the season, I'm fine.
Jody, now, second day on the air with BT. My main question to you is now, having doing a show with BT every weekday from 1 to 3 on 1050, do you get to talk every now and then?
I sneak in a word every edgewise, yeah, every once in a while. No, so far so good. We've done all the two shows, and I think we're two for two.
Nice, very good, very good. And the first thing when I told listeners I was having you on the show, Jody, and I know you have a good memory, and I'm sure you do, I want to bring up the many conversations you and I had back in the summer of 2006 where you weren't the only one. A lot of people thought I was nuts when I said David Lee was going to be awesome.
You were early on his bandwagon. I will give you that. He has turned into a better player than I thought he was. I thought he was a very nice pick for the Knicks for where they got him in the draft, and I thought he could be a starting player in the NBA. Did I ever think he was going to be an NBA All-Star? No, I didn't, and he made All-Star status this year. So I will give you your props. You were more on the David Lee bandwagon than I was.
Yeah, I remember. I guess I've grown up a little bit over the years. I don't really wear jerseys anymore, but I went downstairs to Causey's one day. I remember I came up with a David Lee jersey. I remember I think you, Gordon, guys were all laughing at me, but, you know, it's all good.
We gave you a little bit of a hard time because you were easy to give a hard time to.
Oh, yeah, and I still am on that note, Jody. And if you look at the Knicks the last 2 years, Jody, obviously when Mike D'Antoni and Donnie Walsh got the job, it was no easy job. There was no perfect GM for the job. There was no perfect coach for the job. When you evaluate the first 2 years of Mike D'Antoni and Donnie Walsh, what are your initial thoughts?
First things first, you got to separate the two. While they are a team, they are also separate entities, because I certainly believe one has done a better job than the other, and that would be the general manager over the coach. Seeing as I am a little older than you, I can go back to when the Knicks first started to come apart as a team was under Dave Checkets a long time ago, when they decided that they needed to trade Patrick Ewing because they thought that Ewing, under contract, unhappy because they wouldn't give him an extension, would just make for an unbearable situation, and they didn't want to go through that. They didn't want the fans to be upset by it and Patrick to have to talk about it and the like. So they made a judgment call that it would have been better to trade Ewing than to let him just finish out his contract and then walk away as a free agent. That was a mistake because they got in return bad contracts for Ewing, which they in turn traded for worse contracts for other players, and they got so far over the cap it was ridiculous. And 3-4 years into this process, people were saying the Knicks could never get out from underneath the cap. I said they could if they were willing to bite the bullet and just be bad. And they had to go through two general managers and several different changes of face of the franchise before someone finally decided, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take it apart to build it back up from the bottom. And Donnie Walsh proved that it could be done. And he's gotten far enough under the cap that the Knicks have room for two franchise players, two maximum type players. So to this point, Donnie Walsh has done everything that he's attempted to do since he's taken over as the general manager. Now, of course, the next big step and or hopefully two big steps will make or break what Donnie Walsh has done. To this point, it's been great. If he can't convince a star player or two star players to come to New York, then all the work that he's done trading off contracts and getting underneath the cap kind of goes by the board. So I give him nothing but passing grade to this point, knowing full well that the final grade is still out there to be determined during this offseason. On the Mike D'Antoni front, yes, he hasn't had the greatest of talent, but he's also shown no ability whatsoever to change the way he did things in the Western Conference when he had talent and had a different team. He's an offensive coach, and he coaches offense, and the Knicks have played some exciting basketball, and David Lee has flourished under it, but they're going to lose 50 games for the second consecutive year, and they lose ugly basketball games, and they play no defense whatsoever. So I wouldn't give D'Antoni near the top grade that I would give a guy like Donnie Walsh.
Jordy, and you mentioned about, you know, tearing it down. When Isaiah Thomas first got the job, and I really don't want to get into Isaiah, but I wasn't on the radio yet, but I said to myself, I was 19 then, I said, listen, just tear it down, you know, don't make any moves, don't make any trades unless it's bringing back small contracts. And the Knicks got Marbury, and I was all for that, and then all of a sudden you had contracts piled up till 2011 with, you know, Crawford, who's gone now, and Curry expires in 2011. And then when Donnie Walsh, and then Isaiah kept adding and adding, and when Donnie Walsh got the job in April of 2008, I said to myself, wow, we're finally going to have a plan. And that's to get under the salary cap. The Knicks are finally under the cap, and they're going to have money to spend for the first time since 1996. And going into the summer, we obviously know who the main guys are: LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, Stoudemire, a couple other guys. Do you think that these guys, that Donnie Walsh will be able to land a couple of these guys? Do you think it's going to be tougher than we think?
Is it possible? Yes. Is it likely? Not on the top end, but I do think they're going to be able to get a very good player, if not a star player. I don't think LeBron won't come to New York because the Knicks have stunk the last couple of years. I don't think LeBron will not come to New York because he's afraid of New York or anything else. If LeBron James goes anywhere else, other than staying with the Cavaliers, which is a possibility. You know there are going to be four or five teams that are going to make big pitches for him. If he takes his act somewhere else, then shame on Donnie Walsh, shame on the Knicks, shame on everything they've done for the last 3 years to get to this point. If he stays in Cleveland, I can't really blame Donnie Walsh. He's going to offer him the most money. They're going to put on the biggest sales pitch you've ever seen in your entire life. They're going to woo the guy. They're going to try pull every trick in the book to get him to come here. If he wants to stay in Cleveland, there's nothing they can do about it. And the same pretty much goes for Dwayne Wade. He's very comfortable down in Miami. He likes it down in Miami. Miami is a better team than the Knicks, but they're not that much better a team than the Knicks. So the Knicks should be able to make a good play for Dwayne Wade. If he stays put, well, then who can really blame him? Because he likes his life down in Miami. Can they get Stoudemire? Yeah, they can. If they want him, I think they can get him. Can they get Joe Johnson? I think he can be had. I think he can be taken out of Atlanta. So those, and the biggest one is going to be Chris Bosh. What would keep Chris Bosh in Toronto? I don't think there's anything special about Toronto. The team's not that great. You're north of the border. You got to pay Canadian taxes. The dollar's not worth as much up there. There's no reason why Chris Bosh can't be a Knick this upcoming offseason. So if you're talking about the two megastars, I think they're probably both going to stay right where they're at. Anything else is fair game, and the Knicks should be able to go get them.
Chris Bosh is obviously going to command a lot more money than David Lee. And we're talking to Jordy McDonald right here on theKnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Is Chris Bosh, and he's obviously definitely better than David Lee, but is he that much better? Is he David Lee where he might get $10 million per? Is Chris Bosh, you know, $7 million more better than David Lee, as he would probably get $16, $17 million per year?
In the world of the NBA today, yeah, he is. Yeah, I do think he is. That's the going rate. Max number is the max number, and I think of Chris Bosh as a max player. David Lee's going to be an interesting case. BT and I have already debated David Lee in our first couple of shows. Do I know that David Lee is an $11 or $12 million player a year? Maybe. I don't know that. The league will tell us that. Someone will tell us that they're willing to pay him that. If they don't, then I think the Knicks will make a competitive offer. I think they'll offer him $7, $7.5, $8 million. I think the Knicks would like to keep David Lee, but they're going to do so at the market's price. They're not going to overpay him just because he's been their best player the past 2 years.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Donnie Walsh is definitely going to see what other teams offer David Lee, I think, before he makes an offer. But also, last year was a different situation where David Lee was restricted. This year he's unrestricted, so it's a little bit different of an angle for Donnie Walsh to play with David Lee this summer.
Right, but I think people at times overplay that because I know there was very little movement in the NBA last year with restricted free agents and likes. If there was someone that really liked David Lee and really wanted him, they could have put the screws to the Knicks. They could have put a contract sheet out there that the Knicks weren't going to match because you know, I know, anybody else who knows anything about basketball knows the Knicks' offseason goal was to get as far as they could under the cap going into this next season. So they didn't want to do anything more than a one-year deal with David Lee because they wanted to leave themselves as much flexibility as possible. So if there was a team out there that really liked David Lee, they could have had him. I think the Knicks would have been reticent to try and match the offer.
Now, Jody, if Isaiah didn't give Eddie Curry enough money as he did, could he at least have given him a 5-year contract instead of a 6-year contract? Because Eddie Curry's contract, well, he has an option, which is obviously going to take him. Would you turn down $12 million? Do you think that the Knicks can trade his contract over the summer? Obviously, in the NBA, expiring contracts are hot commodities. Do you think that he's actually going to be in the court for the Knicks next year?
But if you're going to trade him, you're only going to take somebody else's bad contract back. It's a valuable piece, but would the Knicks be willing to take the chance on two players, three players who are lesser players, but one that they see turning into a potential star player at sometime down the road? Can Eddie Curry be moved? Yeah, he could. But then they're going to get themselves in the same exact position they're trying to make a run at a guy like Carmelo Anthony, who will become an unrestricted free agent at the end of next year. If the Knicks don't get LeBron and they don't get Dwayne Wade and they don't get Chris Bosh, I think there's a good chance they try and stay under the cap again to give themselves as much cap flexibility as possible for the following year. And if you're going to do something like that, trading Eddie Curry for someone who has more than 1 year left on his contract becomes a counterproductive move.
How about, obviously, 2 years ago, you heard a lot how Mike D'Antoni was very popular around the league, and I'm sure he still might be. He spends a lot of time with the Olympians, but it's only 3 weeks every year, too. Obviously, he'll be with them again this summer as they'll be getting ready for the Olympics in 2012. With all the player altercations I feel he's had, whether it's with Steph, Larry Hughes, Nate Robinson, Trace McGrady, and obviously we know players talk, how much do you think that will affect free agents coming here this summer?
It's a good question, Anthony, that only the individual players can answer and know for sure. I think it's kind of a wash if you believe what's out there, without talking each player and thinking what they would have as far as a relationship with D'Antoni goes. Yes, we've heard that he had a good relationship with several of the players who are on the last Olympic team, several of which are going to be free agents during this offseason, and that's probably a good thing. But the point you just made about the way that he hasn't been able to get along with his quote-unquote star player while he's been the coach of the Knicks the last 2 years, I think that's also well known around the league. So do I think D'Antoni is a positive or an extra for the Knicks landing players during this offseason? No. Do I think he's a detriment that people will stay away because D'Antoni's the coach? I can't say that either. I'd say it's pretty darn neutral. I think if people are coming to New York, it'll be for other reasons, or if people are staying away from New York, it'll be other reasons other than D'Antoni being the coach.
What do you make of the Knicks young core, Gallinari, Chandler, Douglas, and those guys?
I don't love him. Chandler is a nice player who I think helps your team, but do I think he's a 30-minute-a-game guy in the NBA? No, I don't. I think he's more like a 20-minute-a-game guy.
Really?
D'Antoni is a real nice coming-off-the-bench kind of player, and unfortunately the Knicks got a couple of those guys. I think Walker's a nice 9th or 10th guy who, if you have a couple injuries, he goes in and can actually help you win a game or two. Gallinari, they're married to, and he's really come around as an offensive player, and I think he can be an offensive player in this league. My problem with him is going to be he just doesn't match up with other threes around the league defensively. What he gives you on the offensive end, they can take back on the defensive end. In that way, he's a lot like David Lee. David Lee's a great rebounder and a great scorer, but a below-average defender. And he's played a lot of five this year, and he's done better defending centers. Then next year, if the Knicks really want to go out and get themselves a center, if they got Chris Bosh, he'd play the middle. David Lee would go back to playing the four, and I think there's fours that he's going to have problems in covering. So unfortunately right now, and that's one of the reasons why the Knicks have lost 50 games two straight years, With D'Antoni staying as the coach and him not emphasizing defense, the Knicks just don't have defensive players.
Do you think the Knicks will bring in a, quote, defensive coordinator this summer to work with D'Antoni, such as a Tom Thibodeau or one of those guys?
I hope so, because I surely think it could only help. It will probably have to do with the players that they get during this offseason. If they believe they've gotten guys who can play better defense and they're going to make a decision to become more of a defensive-minded team, then if you don't put the proper pieces around those players in coaching, then you've made a mistake. And Donnie Walsh doesn't make too many mistakes. And Mike D'Antoni, coming off 250 lost seasons, can't really stand up and say, hey, no, I have to push my entire coaching staff. Don't tell me who to take as an assistant coach.
He could do it in Phoenix because they won, you know, almost 60 games for four straight years. He can't do it now, losing 50-plus 2 years in a row.
Exactly right. So if Donnie Walsh wants to force-feed a defensive-minded assistant coach down D'Antoni's throat, I think D'Antoni's got to take it.
What should Knicks fans do come playoff time when it comes? And obviously, when you root, it doesn't make a difference because I rooted for the Knicks like hell all through the 90s and never won the championship. What should Knicks fans do when it comes to watching the Cavs in the playoffs this year?
That's a good question. It's been debated now for the better part of a year. We had
last year, I think, was championship, but this year I think we're a little confused.
Brian Windhorst, who covers the Cavs on a day-in, day-out basis for the Cleveland Plain Dealer, has a very good relationship with LeBron, has written two books, co-authored two books with LeBron, and we had him on the show on Monday. And he believes that if LeBron wins a championship, he's going to want to win another one. That the lure of winning a championship and multiple championships is something that he won't be able to get over. I kind of agree with that. I've been leaning toward it's better for him to win one because then, hey, at least he delivered for Cleveland. If nothing else, he gave them their first parade in 60 years, and he can hold his head high and walk out of town and say, listen, I want to go try my wares somewhere else. But listening to Brian the other day, and Brian knows him a hell of a lot better than I do, it might just be the frustration level of, hey, we went out and got Antoine Jameson. They brought in Shaq. They let Z go. They brought Z back. We did everything that we could, and we still couldn't win a championship. Hey, it's just not going to happen here in Cleveland. I got to go somewhere else. I'm starting to lean that way, that if they win, it's actually worse for the Knicks. So if I'm a Knicks fan, if I'm trying to advise Knicks fans what to do, I'd be rooting against the Cavs in the upcoming playoffs.
Interesting. Who do you like in the Eastern Conference? Who do you like in the Western Conference to come out in the playoffs?
Are you asking me just to give you my best basketball analysis or my Knick biased analysis?
Oh, no, basketball. Forget the Knicks on the next couple. Basketball.
Gotcha. I like the Cavs. I think they're the best team in the East. They've been the best team in the East all year. Now, they won the most games in the East last year, and it wasn't enough to get them through the playoffs and past Orlando. So it could certainly happen again. If Shaq gets back and gets healthy and can give him 20 minutes a night, they've gotten Z reincorporated into the offense. Jameson has become certainly a fit out there. I think they're the best team in the East. I think Orlando's the only other one with a chance to beat them. The Celtics just aren't the same team that they were. Atlanta's a solid team, but I think in a best of seven, they're not going to be able to beat a team like LeBron. So I like the... I certainly like the Cavs in the East, and if the Cavs are going to win, then I'm going to root for the Lakers in the West. I'm a Phil Jackson fan, always have been, always will be, and I don't know if you watched it. Did you watch the Bird Magic thing done on HBO last
month?
Yes,
I have. It's very good.
It was done very well, like HBO does everything that it does. It's just the best in television, and it brought back a ton of memories for me, and that was a fun time in the NBA, even though if you're a Knicks fan, you kind of hated the Celtics, but Bird against Magic was just great theater. And if LeBron's going to stay in Cleveland, which he may very well do, and Kobe's going to stay in L.A., all right, it's not the Celtics-Lakers, but it's the Cavs-Lakers, and it's LeBron against Kobe. And I wouldn't mind seeing a couple of finals with those guys matching up against each other.
Any dark horse teams in either conference that can maybe sleep up on somebody?
I've liked the Nuggets all year. They played inconsistent. They've had to deal with the health problems that Coach Carl has had, and we're all pulling for him and praying for him, and he's a good guy, and if he were to make it to an NBA final, I'd be happy as hell for him. And Chauncey is as good a big-game player as there is, and Carmelo's if it's Carmelo against LeBron, that would also be a fun NBA final since they came out together. Denver would probably be the shot that I would give a team out in the West. And in the East, no. I think it's the Cavs and maybe the Magic, and then anything else, I'd be more than surprised. I'd be shocked.
Jordy, something I have a lot of interest in as a basketball fan, and you're very plugged in the Philadelphia area. What happened with Allen Iverson there this year? I was pretty excited as a basketball. Well, I wanted Iverson to come here for the one-year contract. That didn't happen. And then he goes to Philadelphia. It seemed like a pretty great story. And then all of a sudden, everything just unraveled. What happened, Jody?
Allen's got his problems. Allen's got his demons. Stephen A. Smith has done a pretty good job of covering the story. He thinks that Allen has a problem with alcohol. Allen certainly has had a problem with keeping the tens of million dollars that he's had. He's wasted a lot of money. How much of it is in gambling losses, I don't know for sure, but I know he likes to gamble. It's Allen Iverson's sad story, and ESPN's running a real nice movie this month, was just on about Allen going back to the time when he was arrested when he was in high school and spent 4 months in prison for the fight that he was part of in a bowling alley in Hampton, Virginia. It's just been one story after another. Allen Iverson has lived a tough life, but some of it has got to be placed on Allen Iverson's doorstep, that he just didn't handle his fame and his fortune and his life as well as he could have, and I'd be pretty surprised if we ever see Allen Iverson on any NBA floor again.
Really? You don't think he can get a contract next year for a team, even a one-year deal?
No.
Really?
I don't think he's got much left in the tank. He's a one-dimensional player. He always has been. But his dimension was so much higher than everybody else's.
Yeah, it was awesome in his prime, huh?
You look past the fact that he wasn't a real good on-ball defender. Knew how to play a passing lane, knew how to steal a pass every once in a while, but he just, his size, and now he doesn't have the speed that he once had. He's a liability defensively, and he's not a guy who can go out and get you 25 anymore. On his good nights, he's going to get you 16, and if you're giving up that much on the defensive end, and you can't dominate the game on the offense the way he used to do, I don't think he's even a veteran minimum guy in the league anymore.
Yeah, it seems to me, like I said, as an NBA fan, I thought it was such a cool story, him going back to Philadelphia. And obviously, I watch the Sixers on League Pass here and there, and, I mean, nobody goes to that. I mean, they're getting, like, you know, 300 people a night, it seems. I thought it was a good story, and it just didn't play out that way.
Philadelphia is a very discerning basketball market. They're smart. They know the game. They understand it. When the team is good, they'll come out, they'll support it, and they'll pack the house like they did back in 2000 when Allen and the Sixers went to the NBA championship. If you put out an inferior product, they won't show up.
They just won't, like, Knicks fans will go. They just won't go, huh?
And I even give the Knicks fans credit, because there was a period of time right after the Ewing era ended where they just continued to fill a house and fill a house and fill a house, and I was going, why?
Yeah.
They're giving you a bad product. So the Knicks fans, yes, more so than the Sixers fans. There are some discerning Knicks fans, and they don't sell out every single game, which tells you that this is a franchise that needs change, like we don't know that. But in Philadelphia, they are much tougher graders. And if the team is bad, call us, wake us when you get good again.
What's their plan? I mean, do the Sixers have a plan, or they just, you know, put too much stock into Elton Brand and Andre Iguodala?
That's a good question on both fronts.
That's three tonight.
You know, Peter Vesey today had a rumor in his column that Larry Brown could return to Philadelphia, and if he did, he would be chief cook and bottle washer. He'd be coach and general manager as he once was. I still find that tough to believe. I know that he mended fences with Ed Snyder, one of the principal owners of the Sixers, who was unhappy when Larry left the Sixers last time. They did mend some. He came back, spent a year as an advisor to Billy King, the general manager. So I'm sure that at that time, some of the harsh feelings went away, but that's a little different than turning over all the keys to the store again. Peter Vesey's good. He hits a high percentage of those who do what he does for a living, insiders to the game and predicting and projecting things before they happen. Vesey hits as good a percentage as anybody, but he doesn't get them right 100% of the time, and I'll tell you, I'll be very surprised if he gets that one right. I don't see him going back. Eddie Jordan will not be back. It was a bad hire by Ed Stefanski. I like Stefanski. I think he's a good guy.
Think he'll be back,
he's highly
huh?
motivated. The Brand thing, he rolled the dice. It hasn't paid off. They did give Iguodala too much money. his moves haven't worked out. So if Eddie gets the chance to hire one more coach, that'll be it, because the coach won't be the next one to go. The general manager will be the next one to go.
So as far as, so for Sixer fans that are listening, you don't see much hope for the Sixers in the next few years then, huh?
No.
Wow.
They need to build it back up from the bottom. They're a good couple of ways. This is the first time in a long time you've been able to say 4, 5, 6 seasons during this offseason, I certainly like the chances of the Knicks with their cap flexibility going into 2010-11 than I do with the Sixers and their current situation.
Well, the Sixers are almost kind of like what the Knicks were 8, 9 years ago. That's what happens. You know, in baseball, you can overpay a player. It doesn't matter because, you know, it matters, but it doesn't matter because there's no salary cap. In basketball, you overpay one or two guys, you know, Iguodala and Brand, or, you know, Allen Houston, Clarence Weatherspoon, Chandon Anderson, you could find yourself, you know, in a hole for 3, 4, 5, 6 years.
And that's the key. That's why you hope to sign guys to 2 and 3 year contracts. When you go 5 or 6 and all of a sudden they're not the player they're supposed to be, or they're injured and the like, you just dig yourself a hole that you can't get out of for seasons, not just a season, but seasons, plural, several seasons and the like. And that's a fate worse than death for NBA franchises.
Definitely. Hey, Jody, I want to thank you tonight for giving me a few minutes on the show. It definitely is always good talking basketball with you. And obviously, good luck every weekday from 1 to 3 with Brandon. The show sounds great. I'll be wishing you guys the best.
Thanks, buddy. Always a pleasure. Anytime you want to talk, give me a call.
All right, Jody, take care.
You got it.
That was Jody McDonald from 1050 ESPN New York here on the Knicks. From 1050 ESPN New York here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. Got a lot of good Knicks stuff from Jody, and actually the stuff I enjoyed the most from Jody, and Tommy D will be on with us in about 30 seconds, what I enjoyed most from Jody actually was talking the Philly stuff. Jody's very plugged in Philadelphia, and I think the Iverson thing to me is pretty fascinating. I don't know what's going to happen with him next year, but to think, you know, like Antoine Walker, you know, guys made this much money, and you know, he could be running out of chances. And I didn't see the special on ESPN. I'll definitely see that sooner than later, and I'll definitely watch that. But the Sixers, they're in some holes. But obviously, if you're a Knicks fan, you log on to theknicksblog.com and listen to TKB Radio. You could give two if the Sixers are in a hole, because the Knicks have been in a hole for the last 9 years. And right now on the line, he's the author of theknicksblog.com, and that is Tommy D. Tommy, what's up?
My man, what's up, man? Listen, I saw BT on the street today right outside SNY Studios, and we were talking a little bit to have Jody Mack on, a Yonkers brethren. I'm sorry I just missed him, but sounded like a great interview, and, you know, we could talk about Philly, you know, from a listener standpoint, you know, who are Ranger fans and Met fans. I'm really tired of Philly, you know, but I'm not tired about the Sixers losing, I'll tell you that much.
No, definitely. And they're in a bad situation. But like I said the second before you get on the air, tell a Knicks fan another NBA team is in a bad situation, you think they're going to give a rat's ass?
No. And you know, as we move forward with, you know, with the Knicks and Donnie Walsh, and the post that I made today in terms of you know, plans A, B, C, D, you know, I was a Stefanski believer from a, not that I'm obviously not a Sixer fan, but I really, again, the only thing that I can really kind of talk about is Donnie Walsh and how I really feel very comfortable that he has all his ducks in a row. You know, at the end of the day, that's what it's about.
Yeah, he had a plan. He wanted to get under the cap. He's under the cap, and, you know, we'll have plenty of time to talk about that. But listen, so far, for the most part, plan is executed. You know, I think he wanted to, you know, sneak into that 8 spot this year. Even last year, I think he probably wanted to keep Jordan Hill. But, in the basketball world and in life, sometimes it doesn't go exactly how you want it. And I think the Knicks are right on track. Now, what is going to happen? We'll see. And real quick, Tommy, I said I'll make it an issue for 5 minutes, and that's it. I know a lot of people were into it today about, you know, the David Lee. You know, not, you know, I thought – the only thing I said is that maybe you should took him out. Even at the same time, Tommy, there's a – get a foul and take him out in front of the crowd, but I said I wasn't going to talk about it past tonight. Your thoughts?
Well, before we get into that, anybody who's following anybody on Twitter, you know, if you follow Daryl Morey, who's the fine executive with the Rockets, he's been raving about Jordan Hill, which is something that we've been talking about for a long time, and his, you know, ability to pick out talent. He likes Jordan Hill, blah, 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 blah. That in and of itself is a story that could be something moving forward. David Lee is a player who we've talked about on the blog a lot, and the guy has gotten better offensively every single season. We know it's out there now. We know the reason why a lot of fans have had a hard time with him is his defense. And my question to you is, or and any Knicks fan listening who wants to call in and chat about it, what is it about David Lee that doesn't lead you to believe that he can't become a better defender and why he shouldn't be a piece moving forward? Dollar for dollar, is he a $12 million player? You know, we know his agent's going to be going out there looking for a ton of bread, which is his right, and that's his job. If David Lee wants to be a Knick, we'll throw it out there. If David Lee wants to be a Knick, sign for 4 years, $32 million, 5 years, $40 million. Sign for $8 million a year so that the team can have flexibility. At that price, he's a piece.
Yeah, and here's one thing that could be a possibility for David Lee, and who knows what's – listen, I think what Donnie Walsh is going to do, he's gonna let other teams offer him first. Obviously, David's in a better position this year than he was last year, one, because he's coming off two awesome years, and last year he's only coming off really one awesome year. The other 3 years before, very good. I think it's a possibility if David – and David really wants to stay. But the main thing with David is that he wants to win. He's sick of losing. But, I mean, come on, losing 5 straight years has got to suck. It's got to stink. But I think that one possibility is, you know, maybe get one of those contracts for the first year or two. It's not as much. In the last 2 or 3 years, you really blow the contract up. That could be a possibility for David Lee and the Knicks this summer.
Is he somebody who's worth $10 million a year?
I think you look at what he's done this season, and, you know, with the cap and stuff, that's tough because you don't know. But I think what he's done this season, and listen, is Chris Bosh better, Tom? Yeah, of course Chris Bosh is better. But I'd rather probably have David Lee for 10 and Chris Bosh for 17 if you can get a LeBron or a Wade with that. But that's, you know, who knows what's going to happen as you talk to people around the league and as you have and I have. This summer is going to be crazy. Even people that are crazy plugged in, Tommy, they have no clue what's going to happen this summer. So I think if you have two or three other pieces you bring in, then I'd probably rather have Dave for 10 than Bosh for, say, 17. Or 16, whatever.
Well, it would be 15, right, as the max. So, you know, from Bosch's standpoint, you're opening the door for two max, which is the beauty of what they've done flexibility wise, and that's a great thing. It also opens the door for possible trades and the opportunity to not have to match contracts or salaries for people who maybe want to unload, a la Chris Paul or, you know, or whatever. To me, if Lee really wants to stay here, which is what he's always been about, see, this goes back to mid-last year where he says, you know, he wants to be a Knick, this and the other thing, and all of a sudden his agent comes out and his agent does the speaking for him and he's asking for $12 million, at least the reports say he's asking for $12 million a year, and he, you know, that's a reach. You know, now that he's reached all-star level, you'd think that he's going to ask for that, maybe even more. That doesn't fit into the Knicks' plan.
No, that doesn't. And they're going to ask for more, I would say. And here's the thing. One of my boys, he's out in Cleveland. He watches a lot of the Knicks games on the League Pass, so he gets the away broadcasts a lot. And he always says it irritates him the most when, say, an away broadcast will be like, well, the reason David Lee puts up so many points is because of the system. The Knicks don't really play a run-and-gun system. The Suns played a run-and-gun system for 4 years in Phoenix. The Knicks don't play a run-and-gun system. David Lee, like you said, offensively, has gotten a lot better. And, you know, him and his camp are going to go in looking for a lot of money. And if there's a team out there that's going to give him $13, $14 million, well, David Lee's gone. But if there's not and there's room to work, then David Lee will be back.
Why wouldn't David Lee sign for $8 or $9 million per and have a 4 or 5 year deal when he has the opportunity to also bring in a superstar and a player who can help him defensively so that he can allow himself to continue to be, you know, let's make no mistake about David Lee. He is a fantastic offensive player. I mean, that is a fact. He finishes with both hands around the rim. He's developed his mid-range game. He could probably stretch it out a little bit further with more work.
Both past the top of the key.
He's not the type of guy that you're going to run your offense through. But he has absolutely established himself, at least from an offensive standpoint, as the type of guy that Amari Stoudemire was for D'Antoni under the system that that he had in Phoenix from pick and roll standpoint.
I think David
really,
might be a little bit better one on one. I think David might be a little bit better one on one than Amari, where you can give the ball. Well, Amari's always played with Steve Nash for the most part of his whole career, so he's never had to create for himself that much. But you can give the ball to David Lee top of the key and say, "Go get me a bucket," and he can do that.
But what is it about Lee that's going to make fans? And listen, if you want to, be somebody in New York who's well respected, obviously winning that's a big part of it. But you have to also represent at least a little bit in the paint. And Lee has done nothing to make people feel like he's the type of presence inside. And I know the game's different, and I would never begin to preach that the game is the same as it was in the 90s. Obviously, I've said it a million times, it's not. So anybody who associates David Lee with Charles Oakley and Patrick Ewing and Anthony Mason needs to check themselves, because that's obviously not where the game's at these days. But he at least in his own right has to show a little bit more defensively, and he hasn't for 4 years.
No, that's true. And there was a couple plays last night where I'm like, you know, I wish he was a better defender. But one thing about Dave, you know, he'll get after it this summer. I don't know how you work on defense over the summer, but I guess you could do some drills. And I think playing with if he can play at the center, that will help him. But that's all going to be things Donnie Walsh and the hierarchy on the 14th floor at MSG, or the offices on in Westchester, or wherever Italian restaurants they're in the back of doing business, smoking cigars. That's what they're, you know, we talk about it. That's what they got to figure out, man. It, you know, I mean, but then you say what's sexier, you know, LeBron and Bosch together, or Lee, LeBron, and another player. I you know, we'll see. It's gonna be crazy, and we're gonna see what the market offers for David Lee. I think one thing, you know, the economy is still not great, so teams are still gonna be tight with their money. No team wants to be in a situation like this. Think about it. I'm not comparing Lee and Iguodala. You just heard Jody Mack, and if you just turn it now, you can hear that later on the KnicksBlog.com, the podcast. You don't want to a team doesn't want to be in a position where they overpay a player, then 2 years later they say, "Oh man, he's good, but is he that good?" Kind of like Andre Iguodala. He's really good, but is he that good what they overpaid him for? So I'm not saying David Lee isn't worth a certain amount of money, but let's say a team maybe overpays him. They're going to be thinking 2 years later, do we want to do that? And teams are very careful with how they're spending their money now, Tommy.
Well, I think what it comes down to is mid-range players, perimeter players. You know, to me, Iguodala is that good. Their mistake was Elton Brand, which at the time, at the time, Elton Brand was not a mistake. Elton Brand was one of the premier post players. Granted, he was coming off surgery, but he was available.
28-10 a night.
Of course, and they pulled the trigger on the deal. He hasn't lived up. He hasn't fit in. You know, whatever. I don't blame the Sixers' plight on Iguodala. Yes, they probably, to me, in this economy, Iguodala is probably a $10, $11 million a year player. What is he making right now? You could tell me. I'm not in front of a computer, but my guess would be it would be in that range. So dollar for dollar, he's not the problem. The problem is Brand. Combine them together, they just don't fit. And Jody Mack was saying, who I respect, Jody Mack is, to me, I mean, he is, I'm so happy he's back in New York, because he's a New York guy.
Good voice.
And he's a great voice, but he's a great mind too. And I'm happy that now he's in the midday. But be that as it may, the Sixers' problem is the other contract from the Knicks.
Iguodala is $12 million a year, but he's on the books for $15 million in 2014.
That's too much, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. $12 million is nice, but it really gets higher. Like 2013, it's up to 14. 2014 tops out with a player option, which he's obviously going to take. No one turns down $15 million. He'll be in 2014. He'll be maxed out at 15.
He's the type of guy that if he were in Cleveland with LeBron and they were together for a long time, they wouldn't lose. Iguodala, you know, if you look at Kobe and Arquette, LeBron and Iguodala would be the equivalent. You know, and they can battle for titles for a long time. To me, I mean, I think Iguodala is a great player. It comes down to what Brand's up to. But to me, you're talking about Donnie Walsh's job is to make sure that the Knicks aren't in that fight with this money. So that's why I feel comfortable that Walsh has, you know, the key to the kingdom, if you will, because he's the type of person who can make sure that he doesn't overspend. Dollar for dollar, I'm just very – I'm comfortable in the decisions. But again, like Jody Mack was saying right before I came on, one contract and it's a wrap.
Yeah.
So I think I'm sure he's going to make sure that they spend wisely and also have flexibility for 2011.
646-478-5554. Let's take a few calls before we wrap up the show. We only got about 4 minutes left here on the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio. And let's go to area code 917. You're on the air, the KnicksBlog.com, the Knicks Blog Radio.
Hey, what's up, Tony, Tommy?
What's going on?
Benji Khan, how you doing? Yeah,
how
what's going
you?
On, guys?
Benji's been in a hole the last month.
Benji.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm hanging in. I just want to make a quick point. The way I envision this team, first of all, Jody Mack, great interview, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think he might be the best.
Benji, do you want to max out Earl Barron?
Yeah, why not? but the way I see it, I think we got to bring back Earl Barron. I think we got to bring back Bill Walker. I would even bring – I'm a little bit torn on Sergio Rodriguez, but I probably would bring him back.
They all would come extremely cheap, so even Serge.
Right. So that's, they're not really high-risk moves. But I think Sergio Rodriguez is a nice player. He's got limitations. He's a better shooter than I thought. Obviously, defensively, he's weak. But I like he attacks the basket. You know, he tries to make some risky passes. I think he's a good ball player. You know, I don't know. It's hard. I've never been this disconnected from the Knicks, so it's kind of hard to.
Ben, you've been disconnected
even...
for 2 weeks.
I'm disconnected.
Hey, you're going on 70. You're going on 72 hours. Like, you know.
Yeah, right.
Withdrawal. You going through withdrawal?
No. It's weird. It's a weird feeling to be in a bar and not even the game's on and not even be looking at it at the corner. Just looking at it at the corner of my eye. So.
Well, this last night's game had to get you amped, bro. That was a great game, man. They played really hard that second half.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm more just happy that Gallinari's finished the season strong to give me some hope for next year. And Bill Walker obviously has shown that he's a quality player. He's shown that he can shoot the ball.
Are you giving J.R. Giddens a big contract?
No, I like Jared Giddens, but I wouldn't bring him back because I don't think offensively he's good enough. But I wanted to speak to Tommy's point. I actually think Andre Iguodala is one of the most overrated players in the NBA.
Oh, come on, man.
He's a very solid guy that can do a lot of different things. His game has really not improved very much since he's come in the league, though.
Oh, I disagree with that.
I disagree with that too.
A lot.
Whenever I see him play the Knicks, he has a lot of games where he's shooting 6 of 20, you know. He's a pretty inconsistent outside shooter, I'd say. I look for guys to improve. I look at guys like Emeka Okafor and Iguodala, who basically have been putting up the same statistics since they came into the league, you know, for 5 years. And then you look at a guy like Lee, who improves every year. You know, you look at, you know, that's what I look for.
Wait a minute. No, compare and contrast Lee and Okafor.
I mean, Emeka Okafor has not improved one bit since he's entered the league. David Lee has basically done a 360, done a 180 and become, you know, a dramatically dangerous player. Yeah, offensively, for sure. Emeka Okafor has been a 10-point, 10-rebound guy for 5 years.
And Benji, thanks for the call, man. We only got about a minute left. Obviously, thanks for the call. You know, Okafor is a good player. We can get some more Okafor. Tommy, we only got about a minute left. Thursday night will be our last show for the season. Actually, I guess tonight will technically be the last show of the actual season of the Knicks playing. Thursday night will wrap up the year, and then starting Mondays and Wednesdays, Tommy, we'll obviously talk Knicks off season, but who knows what's going to be going on May 15th, for example. We'll talk a lot of NBA playoffs and draft and Knicks stuff, and, you know, hit the playoffs hard starting this Monday. And it'll be fun, and we'll really put a bow on the Knicks this Knicks season on Thursday.
I will say this. When you talk about Okafor and you talk about Iguodala, the reason why they got big contracts is because they're two-way players, and they've been overpaid. David Lee hasn't proven he's been a two-way player. I like two-way players. I think Iguodala is a top five, from a forward standpoint, is a top five two-way player.
No,
he's overpaid. No question.
He's overpaid, but very good. Very good.
The Knicks will be looking for two-way players. You know, obviously, people who can fill it up offensively, but who can also play defense. To me, again, as you look forward to July and beyond, Donnie Walsh will bring in players who can fit the system and don't need to be taught how to play defense, because knock D'Antoni all you want. Defenders are born, not taught, man.
No, I agree with that, Tommy. It's been a great show tonight. Glad you hopped on for the last 20 minutes, and we'll be back on Thursday night, brother.
You got it, bro.
Check the photo I posted on Facebook. I tagged you. You should throw that on the blog with a nice little. It's been 10 years since that photo was taken. You'll see it. You'll like it. Trust me.
I saw it in my Hotmail. I can't wait to check it out.
Check the photo. All right, man. It's been a great show. Thank you, Jordy McDonald, for joining us here on the KnicksBlog.com, the KnicksBlog Radio. See you Thursday night.